I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Star Chat alongside the award-winning Kevin Turner at KT Fun Tweets. I'm Jared Sandler. Star Chat, as always, brought to you by Blankety Blank. Go to blanketyblank.com. They've got a really sweet deal. Last week, they had a really nice deal, 3 Blankety Blanks for the price of 1. This week, it's actually 4 Blankety Blanks.
This is an end of the month deal right here, right? Yeah. Right here as we wrap up September.
They got to get all their September shipment out because once October rolls around, the September stuff is expired and they can't legally sell those things.
Mm-hmm.
So, blanketyblank.com. And if you're a big fan of the Star Chat podcast, even if you want to just donate like $5 to us, you can email sam.morton@entercom.com, although he might just keep the money if it's $5. Andy.brooks@entercom.com, Chelsea.dickinson@entercom.com. Who's that chick the other night? Ashley Glanzer. Ashley.glanzer.
Ashley, yeah, I don't really know if she's a fan sales girl. She does another.
Shoot her an email.
One of the other stations,
Ashley.glanzer@entercom.com. Eden.lucas, does she still work here at
Entercom? Absolutely.
Robbie.bowen@entercom.com. Anything else you want to shout out?
No, that's it. I'm good.
Anthony DiVincenzo doesn't work here anymore, but he probably
send him
still,
an email. He would love your email.
Still make something happen. So we are, we'd love some sponsorship. Blankety Blank is they're great because they want a teammate in the sponsorship.
Absolutely.
Department. All right. The Cowboys lose to the Seahawks. We'll get into that. We'll talk about Cowboys Lions and then look around the league. Upcoming matchups here this week, starting with a really nice Thursday night matchup between the Vikings and the Los Angeles Rams, possibly the two best teams in the NFC, though the Vikings coming off a really interesting loss to the Bills. Anyway, Cowboys, Seahawks, whatever equity the Cowboys offense built up week two, totally lost it.
Lost it quickly, huh?
I feel like there are so many more things to talk about, but this offense is so... I mean, it's a part of the conversation every week. We don't mean to beat a dead horse here, but it just you can't get away from talking about it because it's every week something different.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things where you had all this goodwill built up after week two, even though week two was not some dominant performance, but you did enough to make you not worry about week one anymore. And then week three, you came out and basically took everything good that happened in week two, you put it in a trash can, and you walked it out to the dumpster. And I just thought that was an interesting choice for them to make.
So the college offense or the elements of a college offense totally non-existent on Sunday.
Wiped them out.
Is
that overthinking? Did they think Seattle was going to game plan for that college offense? And so they like, let's go back to our bread and butter that didn't work in week one. Because look, I do want to cut them a little bit of slack. Carolina, Seattle, two very difficult fronts, two very difficult defenses to play against.
And the Giants aren't a cakewalk
and hard places to play as well.
Yeah.
Like, that's difficult. But you got to see a little more, right? It's the whole thing of, like, it's not that you're losing games. It's the way you're losing games. This is brutal.
Even when they were picking up first downs, like, obviously, if you go 3 and out, you're not going to have any rhythm or pace to your offense. Even when they were picking up first downs, it just didn't feel like there was any rhythm or any sort of flow to the offense. Like, it almost seems like, when an offense gets going, every play they're getting something. Like the good offenses. I mean, when mm-hmm. the Saints are rolling, it's like every play is 8 yards, 9 yards, and they hit you with a big play. It just, even when Zeke was breaking off these big runs, it didn't seem like there was any flow, any pace, any tempo to this offense. And I feel like this is an offense that maybe would be better with more of a tempo, or a higher tempo. But it just, I don't know. In addition to not doing anything of note offensively, especially in the passing game, it just seemed like they're so off kilter.
The ball has to travel more than 15 yards at some point. Okay.
Hell, if you just want to throw it away, like, go.
I don't care. Just move them back.
Take 5 steps and just chuck it up the sideline and know that it's going out of bounds. Just show them that you're willing to do that.
I mean, I feel like that's going to help. Seattle was creeping up the entire game. Because they knew there's just a small level of field that we have to cover. And football's so weird, and we make it, I think, more difficult than it needs to be sometimes when we do live in a world of X's and O's and film and all that. You just it really comes down to surface area at some point. Seattle's sitting there going, I don't have to cover that much ground. The defenses or the offenses that make defenses cover a bunch of ground and make you think about a bunch of different things are the ones that have success.
Yep.
And the Cowboys just don't make you think about too much, and they don't make you cover much ground. And that, to me, is just another problem. Look, quarterback might suck. I don't want to go there.
And the receiving core is pretty bad.
The receiving core is bad. The tight end group is bad. The quarterback might be bad. I think it's a combination of yips, a little bit of protection problems, the yips, play calling, you know, being play. It's a lot of things. And then, but all that kind of equals to, well, maybe he's just not good, because maybe good quarterbacks could get you through a bad wide receiver core and poor protection and poor route concepts and things like that. I don't know. I said it last week. I don't know how I feel about this team yet. Yeah. I still don't. I don't have this like, oh, I think they suck. I think they can beat the Lions. But I do worry. I'm more worried about the quarterback than I've ever been, and I think everyone else is.
No, I agree. And I've been a Dak guy, you know, early on, and I'm right there with you. Is it an issue that Tavon Austin's been this team's best receiver?
It's not an issue. I think it's an issue that they haven't gotten him the ball more.
Okay, so that's a separate conversation.
Yeah.
I would say that Tavon Austin is a great gadget player,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that there's not a more traditional receiver who has stepped up, to me, is an issue.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. You know, they paid Allen Hurns to come in
and he's been
$6 million, and he is...
Earl Thomas has as many catches as Terrence Williams from Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
And you're paying, you know, you're not paying Terrence a ton. I was looking at Cole Beasley's contract here. What are they paying Cole? Cole's cap hit's about 4, I think. Yeah, 4-2. You know, this is likely Cole's last year in Dallas, I would imagine. I don't really see Cole Beasley coming back after this year. But Allen Hurns was kind of paid to be your highest paid wide receiver, right?
He's been...
At $6 million. And he is about as average as it gets in the NFL at wide receiver.
I mean,
he is wide receiver 3. That's the definition. And you know who's playing like a wide receiver 4 or 5 is Michael Gallup, because he's just not ready yet.
Gosh, yeah. And I don't want to, you guys do such a great job looking at the film. And I think sometimes what people forget is that really good NFL players aren't always really good from the get-go.
Yeah.
Especially at that position. So you guys were high on Michael Gallup. And I think when you're high on a player, because you guys are so spot on in your assessment and your analysis, you and Broadus and Jeff and Dane, that the thought is that this guy, well, you know, they all liked him.
Yeah.
And then the Cowboys end up drafting him, so obviously they like him. And this guy's going to be an impact player from week one. And Michael Gallup could end up being a really, really good receiver.
He could be their best wide receiver by the end of the year.
In fact,
I would have no problem putting money on that.
Yeah, but that's a position where, especially when you're working with a young quarterback who isn't a game changer, it might take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And that interception that Dak threw that Gallup had a hand in, you know, that's obviously not a good look when he's not producing otherwise.
So I know we're talking about the offense, but let me throw this to you, because Michael Gallup made me think about this. We've seen Leighton Van Der Esch and all that stuff. We've seen him step in, play for Sean Lee. I feel better about, you know, withstanding a Sean Lee injury because of Van Der Esch, and Jalen's been fine and all that stuff. But then you go see Calvin Ridley put up a 3-touchdown game against Atlanta. I mean, for Atlanta against New Orleans. Went 26th in the draft, 7 picks after you chose.
LV.
Any buyer's remorse at Van Der Esch over Ridley?
Man, I was a guy who wanted Calvin Ridley.
Me too.
And I think what was really impressive about his night or his day on Sunday is that some of the routes he ran were so sharp.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he got himself open because he ran some really nice routes.
That's what he does, right?
I think one of his touchdowns, there was a breakdown in coverage, but there was one, it was almost like a little bit of a stop and go, and he just sold it so well. Yeah, I think absolutely. And especially it's emphasized by the fact that this team doesn't have a receiver that gets you excited.
Sure.
I mean, is there, not that this is like a good measure of the quality of your receiving core, because I think the New England Patriots, have always had problems, since Randy Moss. It's not like they've had that super stud big receiver, but they have had a big tight end.
Yeah.
Like Julian Edelman is a good receiver, but not a big receiver. But the Cowboys don't have a single guy that you'd want on your fantasy team.
No, just Zeke.
And that's, again, not the measure.
And he's getting 20 carries a week, by the way.
Right.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
He didn't get 20 carries yet.
So can we get to Zeke quickly?
Yes.
I know he had over 120 yards. I know he broke off some big runs.
He killed him.
Did that? Well, he did, yes.
He killed him in this game.
And fumble.
He killed three drives.
It just, when I looked down at his line, when I looked at the box score, I was like, man, that didn't feel like a game in which he had 120
sure
whatever yards.
Sure didn't, man. It sure didn't. I think it was helped by 2+ 20-yard runs that helped to get him up to 40 pretty quickly, and the rest was just kind of grinded out. Look, the little things that Zeke does is great. The, you know, get hit, fall forward, ends up, oh, my God, second and five. It really is helpful. The stepping out of bounds thing can't happen. Okay, I'm sorry. Field awareness, I drafted you fourth overall. I can't have you stepping out of bounds
game,
on
right?
a play
that
like that. I'm not sure if it would tie the game or not, but it was
gets him in the game.
The way I've been thinking about that in my head is that and the Randy Gregory penalty is a 10-point swing that changes the entire game.
Very fair.
You have the drop that ended a drive, and then you have the fumble. And Zeke doesn't fumble much, so I'm not killing him for that. I'm going to go to Skin's assessment that Zeke just doesn't look right, that he looks a little slower.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he's stumbling a little bit, just not running as smooth. And I think that's something that's a little interesting. I didn't really think about it until Skin said it, but yeah, I kind of look at other backs. Yeah, he does kind of look a little sluggish.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just playing in Seattle and what that does to you. But, man, something didn't look right to me. Something didn't look right.
Something worth monitoring.
I also think, though, you're right that there's only one fantasy player you would want from the Cowboys and Zeke. I do think there's enough positive things out of the defense. What happened in coverage was a bummer. Xavier Woods got hung out to dry one time.
On the Lockett touchdown?
On the Lockett. Yeah. And then Kayvon Frazier, when Jeff Heath got hurt, was asked to play cover two. And Kayvon Frazier just doesn't need to be playing cover two free safety. He doesn't need to be put in that situation. And I know you have him on the roster. He should be able to do that. But the reason that's a touchdown is because he wasn't really paying attention, and he's used to playing closer to the line of scrimmage. So naturally, he's walking up closer to the line of scrimmage.
You got a square peg in a round hole.
Yes. Yeah. You just kind of got screwed up there. And that's, hey, part of it, you got to have better safety depth, I guess, right?
Byron Jones looked really good again.
Byron looked really good. Cheeto looked kind of bad.
And, hey, with Sean Lee getting hurt, LVE, Leighton Vander Esch, maybe the least type first-round pick in Cowboys history. I mean, I feel like we talk about him less than any other first-round
pick. We should
pick.
Be pleased with what he's given us so far. I think, you know, he always puts himself in the right spot. I still think finishing is a little bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You can still see that he will need to add a little bit of, you know, natural strength. And that'll come along. That'll come along, and it won't be a problem.
I don't know if this stood out to you. Like, one of the things we talked about last week, Jermaine Ifedi and the Seahawks O-line giving up sacks, the Cowboys didn't really capitalize. But I don't know that that's as much on the D-line as it is. It seemed like Russell Wilson was getting the ball out quickly.
They had
a plan,
right?
Yeah.
They knew.
Yeah. And Cowboys in coverage weren't holding up their end of the bargain to allow for these pass rushers to get to Russell Wilson, because you need time to get to Russ. I mean, he's pretty elusive.
I agree. To me, the defense didn't play bad at all.
You gave up
two big plays. You know, Seattle really didn't put a lot of drives together where they just said, hey, we're winning this game. You know, so it should have been a closer game, and that's a good thing we take out of it. Hey, Seattle 0-2, home opener. You probably weren't going to win that game anyways, but it's brutal how bad that offense looked. And there's a lot of people who have jobs on the line and pressure right now to get it right. And I don't really have a ton of faith that they are going to be able to get it right in a way that pleases everyone enough to win games and be a winning team.
So offensively, we agree. Gotta use Tavon Austin more.
Yes.
Because right now he's really the only thing of excitement offensively.
Throw it to him down the field,
you know? Yeah. The up-tempo offense, maybe a little of the college style, you know, those things will help.
Dak didn't run until the fourth quarter the other day.
Yeah. So those are two things that I'd like to see, and we'll see if they have the ability to kind of put that together.
Yeah. I'd like to see him not run the ball on first down, and I would also like to see Zeke get 20 carries.
You mean not be predictable?
Yeah, not be predictable.
I agree. No, that typically helps. But speaking of being predictable, you know that Blankety Blank's always got great customer service.
Oh,
you call them 214-972-817, Blankety Blank. They added the only line, six stores now and only.
Yeah, 940.
And then Even a store in Port Aransas. I don't know where Port Aransas is.
Way down south.
Yeah, but I don't know the area code there, but whatever the Port Aransas area code is,
they don't answer on the first couple times at the Port Aransas location. But if you keep calling, they'll get there.
They're gonna be out on the beach. So even in the winter, you know, they're pretty dedicated to the beach life. So just keep calling; they'll answer eventually.
They'll answer eventually.
Might take a couple tries.
And the only line, don't call after 9 p.m. Everyone kind of goes to bed early.
Yeah, absolutely. Except for the one store, and only the other five.
That one also stays open.
That one, he just doesn't have a life, so he's
he stays up.
He's pretty dedicated.
Somebody by the burrito place.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the Lions. So I'm going to give a snapshot. Tell me if I'm missing anything. Tell me if you agree. Lions defensively don't really stop the run well. Do a great job against the pass. Offensively, for whatever reason, for the last like 75 years since Barry Sanders, they have not been able to establish a consistent running game, but they got three pretty good receivers, Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, Kenny Golladay, who's having a nice year. They'll throw the ball around. Matt Stafford is good at doing that, and he doesn't get sacked a lot. Now, some of that's because he'll get rid of the ball quickly.
Sure.
They do have a pretty decent offensive line.
He still has been taking a beating over the last few years.
Yes. Anything I'm missing? Just a general overview of the Lions they beat the Patriots.
So I want to run this. I want to read this to you. I've saved this. I clipped this and saved this because I thought you would like this, and I think Cowboy fans will like this. This is from Chris Burke of The Athletic. This is just from the Lions-Patriots game. The Lions showed a wide variety of alignments with their receivers and backs Sunday night, frequently dropping Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay into the slot to create different matchups there. They also utilized a Kerryon Johnson-Theo Riddick combo on multiple occasions. Riddick motioning into the backfield, then running a screen right with a Johnson play action up the middle.
Love Johnson. Okay.
Sunday night, the Lions handed the ball to Johnson off that look. Theo Riddick gets a lot of snaps. He got no carries. Okay. Kerryon Johnson got 16 carries in that game, 101 yards. It was talked about a lot because they don't have 100-yard rushers. Right. But basically what he says, he wraps it up with, there's a ton of versatility within Detroit's playmakers and Cooter's figuring out how to utilize it. That's offensive coordinator Jim Cooter.
Bob Cooter. And so you're telling me that they're creative and they try different things?
I'm telling you, guesswork with Theo Riddick. They're not going to hand it to him, but he's going to be back there.
Yeah.
They're going to snap it to Stafford, and Kerryon Johnson's going to be standing to the right or to the left of him. They're going to hand it to him, and he's going to run zone cuts, and he's good, man.
Yeah.
You saw him at Auburn. He was a really good running back.
Yeah.
But they will get creative with their wide receivers. They'll throw it up, big bodies. Cheeto can't play like he played on Sunday. I'm not worried about Byron. It's going to be a tough game for all those guys.
Yeah.
The tight end, they don't really have a very good tight end right now. Luke Wilson's kind of their main guy. They'll throw out some no-names. Their tight end group is weak. But Theo Riddick is the guy that's always you have to keep on your mind because they're going to do wild stuff with him and the fake the handoff to Kerryon Johnson, throw it to Theo, and things like that. We've seen, you know, for years with the Lions, it's all there, but it's tough to cover because it's unpredictable.
Yeah.
You never know when it's coming.
I like what they're doing. I mean, I like what they have the ability to do offensively. I mean, you just listed five weapons. They got five weapons. Those five can be on the field at the same time. You know, it seems like 1 week Golden Tate's the guy. The next week it's Kenny Golladay, Marvin Jones. And those receivers do different things. Like,
yes, they move around. They all know. They can all run multiple routes.
Yeah.
They can run across.
They can all
run up
the
field. You know, Marvin Jones and Golladay can go up and get it in the red zone. Golden Tate's not really that guy.
No, but he's, I mean, he is very good
incredible
in the middle of the field and in an open space. I'm curious. I'm really interested. Like, that's a strength-on-strength matchup here. I think the Cowboys, you know, defense, you know, against the pass, against the Lions passing attack. I'm curious to see that. I'm curious to see Byron, but you're right. Cheeto's got to be better.
I worry about Heath's injury here.
Yeah.
He needs to be good to go, and I think he will be. I worry about the Cowboys stopping the run up front with their defensive tackles. That's been a problem. Guy didn't mention is LeGarrette Blount, who also got 16 carries.
Yeah.
They gave Kerryon Johnson 16 carries. They gave Blount 16 carries. We talked a lot about Leighton Van Der Esch, you know, being strong.
No Sean
Lee. Well, I tell you what, there's a guy that you got to be strong if you're going to tackle him. So I'm a little worried about Detroit's ability to run the ball right at our interior, right up the gut. I worry about that. And I would be, prove the Cowboys can stop it. Jalen Smith and Van Der Esch, I'm not real sure they've had a game like this. I'm not saying that Detroit's known for the rushing attack, and they're far from that.
No, but they're, for the first time since Javid Best,
they got a little something like here, and they've committed to it. They drafted Frank Ragnow earlier, early in the draft, and he's been great for them up the middle. They're starting to kind of get an offensive line put together, and I think they're going to try to, you know, keep running the ball and prove that as their identity. And look, here's another thing. We're talking about the Cowboys' offense snapping out of it. This is the let's go, man. All the talk about Dak's bad game, Brady only threw for 133 yards against them.
Yeah.
Now, maybe there's a Matt Patricia element. Maybe there's a winless team home opener element. But if we're looking for this the week for Dak to get 300 yards, I don't think this is the week that that's going to happen. They've got enough good guys in the secondary to shut this offense down.
And that's the key. It's not, you know, Ziggy Ansah does a nice job, but he doesn't have a ton of help.
And he's been hurt, you know, so.
They're not, you don't have to worry about Dak. I mean, I say that. I guess, you know, the way the season has gone, maybe that might not be the case. I was going to say, you don't have to worry about Dak being under constant pressure. That's not what the Lions do to have tremendous success defensively. But, yeah, you look at the guys in the secondary, and they've, you know, they've in the draft, bringing in Darius Slay, Glover Quinn a few years ago, as a free agent signing. He's been big.
Diggs is good.
Quandre, yeah, that's a really, really tough secondary, and they don't have a tough test, though. Like
they really don't.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see what the Cowboys are going to do to try and get something.
To me, I think they've got to do something up the field. I would love to see Bryce Butler active, and I know a lot of Cowboys fans think he's a punchline and stuff, but, man, I'm telling you, you don't have that guy. You can run up the field and go do that. Doesn't it feel like to you that this Cowboys team is just waiting on Terrence Williams to get suspended so that they don't have to worry about it anymore? I feel like he'll get suspended and then cut him. Isn't that what it kind of feels like right now?
I mean, that guy has been so absent. I mean, has he, like...
He was great in camp, too. Yeah.
I thought that Terrence Williams was going to, like, because of the situation, you could make a case that he was going to be the guy. Not that he's got the skill set to be the guy, but because for no
other
reason,
someone had to be the guy.
Someone had to be. I thought that he was going to be more of an impact type player.
Yeah, they're taking Cole away as best as they can for the most part. And it's just other guys have got to step up and make plays. But you know what? The other guys haven't had a ton of opportunities either, man.
Yeah.
They've got to get more opportunities, get the ball down the field. And hopefully that rhythm comes back for Dak. Hopefully you get a more, I guess, better play called game at home, you know, and maybe we can just chalk it up to, different. Hey, we're doing good stuff at home and bad stuff on the road.
Jerry Jones earlier on the fan said Jason Garrett will not call plays yet. It'll still be Scott Linehan's duty. So for whatever that's worth.
For now.
Cowboys favored by 3. They're at home. So maybe favorite.
Doesn't this kind of line up as a pick 'em pretty much?
Yeah, I guess so. Know? So
and you get the 3 points to the home team, and there you go.
I'll go ahead and say that I think the Lions beat the Cowboys. I'll give them 23 to 13 Lions. I just don't know how the Cowboys. Well, you know, I take it back. 23-17. I think Zeke has a good game.
Okay. I think the Cowboys win.
Okay, and do you think they win because Zeke
controls
the clock?
I don't know. God, so tough, man. I don't know why. I just feel like they'll find a way to snap out of it because they do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Cowboys win 20-14. Zeke has a big day, of course, throwing the ball. He's going to get a touchdown on a screen pass.
Gosh, I'd love to see them.
Michael Gallup's
going to
have 5 catches. This is the Michael Gallup come out party.
Yeah, that works. All right, you want to go around the league?
Let's go around the league, man.
All right, I'm pretty pumped for Thursday's game. You know, it stinks that it's on a Thursday and maybe they're short week, but Rams hosting the Vikings. What the hell happened to the Vikings getting their ass kicked by the Buffalo Bills? I've come on here and said, to me, the Vikings are the best team in the NFC, but apparently not.
In terms of offensive yards per game, Minnesota is not looking good.
Yeah.
And it's a situation where I kind of thought that offense would be humming the whole time. Actually, they're 14th in yards. I had something else on them, though, that was not pretty. In terms of drives scored, in terms of percentage of scores on drives.
That's not good.
Compared to drives had, Dallas and Minnesota are in the bottom 3. It's Dallas, Minnesota, And Arizona's dead last.
That's
Then Dallas, then Minnesota.
That's crazy because Minnesota's got the weapons.
They've got the weapons, and they've got points in two of their games, 24 and 29. But percentage of drives had, percentage of scores compared to drives that they had, they're third lowest in the league.
Is that thrown off a little bit by Daniel Carlson sucking?
Because those drives absolutely did. Because four of those drives would have been, would have been scored. So, that makes a lot of sense.
I still think Minnesota's the second or best team in the NFC. I'm not going to give up on them just yet, although that was an ass kicking at the hands of the Bills. Josh Allen looked really good. I guess we'll get into him in a second. But, I mean, it's tough to say that anyone other than the Los Angeles Rams are the best team in the NFL.
I think
right
the Rams are the class of the league right now.
Pretty impressive what they put
together. And Goff is incredible, man. Yeah. I mean, he's not going to have a lot of five touchdown games because they've got Gurley and stuff.
Makes plays though.
Man, he's 300 yards, three touchdowns every week.
And they, you know,
Woods, Cup, Cooks.
Yeah, I was going to say they got a really nice receiving core.
Yeah,
Cooks can take the top off, and Cup and Woods kind of the intermediate routes. They're both pretty good.
Now the injuries are here now. Talib and Peters hurt now, so they're going to have to fight through that, and that could be where we see some of their demons, but. I feel really good about the Rams making a playoff run this year.
Buffalo coming off their big win, going to Green Bay to face the Packers. That's a Green Bay team with holes.
Boy, Rodgers looks really beaten up, man. Yeah. But I will take the Packers, and I think they're going to put it on them pretty good. I don't really see the Bills having a game like that again, back-to-back, especially in Green Bay.
I am curious, though, to see what Josh Allen does. He had an impressive game against Minnesota.
Absolutely did.
Yeah, it's a tough test. Atlanta hosting Cincy. That's an Atlanta offense that obviously can score points.
This is my shootout of the week right here. Okay. Cincinnati got forced into fell behind Carolina. We got to play shootout ball again. I think that happens again this week against the Falcons. This is going to be a fun game, high scoring. Bernard's getting all the carries for the Bengals right now.
Yeah, makes them.
I think the Falcons
again.
Probably beat them by 10 or 14 points.
Tampa facing Chicago. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of acquitted himself with a better second half. I like Chicago, though, man. I don't know what it is, but that to me is a really interesting team. And I do know what it is. It's
Khalil Mack and Roquan Smith and all that. But.
And then, I don't mind what they do offensively with the Howard Tariq Cohen combo in the backfield. And it's just a matter of whether Trubisky is going to make enough plays to get you out of the game because he certainly likes to try and throw you out of game sometimes.
One of those teams is going to be 3-1 after the first month. Who saw that coming?
You think who do you think's got? Who do you think the better team is at the end of the year?
Is it better staying power?
Yeah.
It's the Bears.
I agree.
And I just, the Buccaneers thing, Ryan Fitzpatrick's not going to play like this all year. I mean, we saw three interceptions last night out of him. He's not going to play well all year. So this is going to, that's going to change a little bit. But I'm interested to see if they consider Winston at all. I don't think they would, but, at halftime last night, I thought they were clearly going back to Winston until Ryan Fitzpatrick pulled some stuff out of his butt. So. I still think the Bears better team, though.
Who do you think's the better option, Winston or Fitzpatrick? You're Dirk Cutter, and you got to win now. You don't necessarily have the job security.
Got to win now? Yeah. You stick with Fitzpatrick.
I agree.
For now.
And if you're looking at the long
James
play.
I think James is the better quarterback. I really do.
Okay. You think over the course of time, James is the better guy?
I do.
I don't disagree with that. I just don't like James. I'm not a big James guy. All right, Indy hosting Houston. Interesting that Andrew Luck got taken out of the game for the Hail Mary with Jacoby Brissett. There are probably a few starting quarterbacks who don't have better arms than their backup, but that has been noticeable that Andrew Luck, who never
can't throw the ball.
Yeah, never had the strongest arm, isn't quite Chad Pennington right now, but isn't far from it.
It's pretty bad. He can't get the ball down the field. I was glad that the Lions beat the Patriots because I didn't want the Cowboys taking on a winless team. Mm-hmm. Same thing goes here for the Colts. Colts are going to take on a very mean 0-3 Houston team. I think some of that matters just a little bit. I think Houston will get it back on track.
Yeah, I agree. Deshaun Watson will still throw the ball all over the place to both teams. The Jets going to Jacksonville to take on the Jags. Jags really, they look really good. That's going to be a really tough test. Sam Darnold, 3 picks.
This is the Sam Darnold learning game right here. This is that rookie learning game that Peyton Manning went through and all those guys against the Jags who are also pissed coming off a 9-6 loss.
What about this game? Dare I say a big game. New England hosting Miami. Miami 3-0. The Patriots 1-2. There are obviously a lot of question marks whether this is the beginning of the end for the Patriots.
Isn't it hard to really take this Dolphins team seriously?
Yes, absolutely.
I think the Patriots put it on them hard.
Yeah, I agree. They're only 6.5-point favorites. I think they cover.
I do too.
Tennessee hosting Philadelphia. Philadelphia looks pretty good.
Go Titans.
You think Titans win?
No.
I know you're rooting for them, but do you think they win?
No, I don't.
Okay, me neither.
Wentz is going to get settled down pretty soon.
Yeah.
You know?
A few years ago, Arizona-Seattle, pretty exciting matchup. Not anymore. Arizona hosting Seattle.
What
Josh
a
Rosen.
Bummer. That game's going to suck.
It'll be Rosen's first start.
I'm interested in the Josh Rosen experiment, though. I thought it was odd that they put him in for that final drive last week.
Yeah.
But I do kind of respect the move as well.
Yep. I don't think anyone on the face of the earth thinks Sam Bradford's the answer. So.
No, not at all.
Oakland hosting Cleveland, Baker Mayfield's first start. That's going to get some eyeballs.
Yes, Oakland needing that win.
Ooh. They've led in all
Baker's
three games,
fun
right?
to watch, dude. He's going to run it. He's going to throw it hard.
I'm rooting for Baker. I want Baker to be good.
I do too, man.
I think it'll be good for
I'm pulling for the Browns. The Browns are an easy team to pull for.
Yeah.
I think they pull this one off. I think the Raiders are 0-4.
I'm not anti-Gruden, though. I know some people don't like
Gruden. I'm not either.
I like Gruden.
I think it's weird what he's doing.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
Chargers hosting the 49ers. Tough break for the 49ers with Jimmy G tearing his ACL.
What a tough thing.
Chargers will roll. Yeah. Giants hosting the Saints.
Saints will roll.
You know, and I think so, too. The Saints are only given 3.5 points, though. I guess they're
that
know,
makes
the
it an easy game to pick if you're in some type of elaborate betting pool.
I guess this is the I wonder who might be in.
Maybe it's got like 75 people in it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wonder if this is a game where the Giants have to ride Saquon to control the clock to keep the Saints
off
the
absolutely,
off the field.
Dude.
Baltimore in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh
huge
their
game
first
for
win.
The Steelers.
A big game for, yeah, I agree. That'll be a fun one. That's Sunday night. Give me the Steelers. I'm not ready to give up on the Steelers. That's such a dynamic offense.
Yeah, and I think when the Steelers need it, you know, I think they find a way to get it. They tried to blow it last night, but they really put it to Tampa in the first half last night. And then you never know. Will Le'Veon Bell show up?
I'm excited for the Kansas City-Denver matchup. It'll be the third road game for Pat Mahomes. That's a tough Denver defense to go up against.
Tough place to play as well. I think this could be a comeback down game for Pat Mahomes. I do think the Chiefs win. There's just enough on offense to get by.
Yeah.
I think the defense is struggling a little bit. Skandrick's starting to play a little bit on defense.
You know what's interesting about the Chiefs' offense? I know Kareem Hunt had 2 touchdowns on Sunday, but like they were short runs.
Yeah.
He really isn't. It seems like since like week 10 or 12 of last year, he's been a below average running
back.
That's
what I kind of think he is.
Yeah.
I kind of thought the hype train.
Got
I mean, coming out
start.
Of college, I didn't have some super high grade on him.
Yeah. He just got an opportunity.
And you know what, though? They blocked for him. They blocked for Pat Mahomes really well. Really good pass blocking team. I'm not sure how they are as a run blocking team, but they're a really good pass blocking team. Mm-hmm. And he does a good job of extending plays and all that stuff. And the Chiefs' offense is really fun to watch, man.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
That's the
five.
Week. Top five
you
for me.
Go or you?
Number five. Coming up at number five. An honorable mention goes to the Dolphins.
Okay.
They're number six.
Okay.
Number five, the Eagles.
You just said you can't take the Dolphins seriously.
Yeah, I gave them honorable mention. That's why I left them out of the top five.
Okay, got it.
Five, the Eagles. Four, the Jaguars.
Okay.
Three, the Saints. Big win over the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the Chiefs. Love the Kansas City Chiefs. And number one, the L.A. Rams continue to be my number one, and we'll be there until they lose.
All right, we got a similar look. I got the Eagles 5. I got the Saints 4, the Jags 3. Give me the Chiefs 2 and the Rams 1.
So we've got a clear top 5.
Yeah.
Who's your 6th?
Well, not the Dolphins.
Not the Dolphins.
I have the Vikings as my 6th.
Okay.
But I'm not biased because I actually hate the Vikings more than any other team, but I did say that I thought they were the best team in the NFC.
This is a measuring stick game for the Vikings now. You know, I kind of equated the Cowboys game to the Panthers, a measuring stick game. Where are you, you know, on the NFC chain?
Yep.
You could do the same thing with the Seattle game, I guess. But I did that with the Packers-Vikings game. When that game ended up in ties, like, well, there's a measuring stick game for the Packers to see where they're at. Well, maybe the Vikings were higher up on the measuring stick than they should have been. So.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm interested. Thursday night, it'll be a fun
Thursday
one.
Thursday night will be a great one. We'll have a great weekend of games, and then we'll do it again next week. Hopefully, we're talking about a 2-2 Cowboys team.
Let's do it. He's the award-winning KT Fun Tweets, Kevin awards. Turner. Jared Sandler, I haven't won any awards, and I don't care about awards. I'd love for you to join Blankety Blank in sponsoring this podcast. Gave you the emails at the very beginning of the show, but Blankety Blank got some great deals, and hopefully take advantage
of
it. End of the month specials. All right, he's Kevin. I'm Jared. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Star Chat.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.